Good morning, church. It's really an honour to be here, and I just love the opportunity to be able to share the Word of God with you. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for every person in your house today here at C3 Fremantle. God, I thank you for your Word that is going to speak to each person. Father, for your Holy Spirit moving as your Word is spoken today. Let your Word dwell richly in our hearts and our minds as we hear your Word today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, the title of my message this morning is Jesus is the best secret to share. Have you ever had to keep a secret? Have you ever had to keep a secret? You've had a secret that was really exciting, something that was very, very special, but you just had to keep it a secret. Well, almost 8 years ago, Richard and I conceived Logan. In fact, I didn't even know that I was pregnant. That was a secret that God knew. It was our daughter Shekinah who picked up. She said, "Mum, you're looking a bit fat. Are you pregnant?" And I said, No. Wait a second." And she was right. We were. So this was such a joy. You know, we've got three girls, and then to be pregnant again. We were thrilled, so excited to have the blessing of another child. And at the ultrasound, we found out that we were having a son, which was even more exciting. But Richard loves to play practical jokes. If you don't know my husband, he loves practical jokes. And he wanted to keep Logan a secret from his workplace. What he wanted to do was pretend that nothing was going on, and that, you know, I would just rock up one day at his work with this new child and surprise his boss and surprise his work colleagues. He plays lots of practical jokes at his work. He was telling me this morning that he put clear sticky tape at mouth level on a door at his work. And him and another colleague watched this person open the door, and as they opened it, the sticky tape went all over his mouth, wrapped around him. He has put, you know how when you're at work and you're in your office and you have photos of your family? Richard photoshopped some family photos with zombie faces on them. Can you imagine coming to work and you're going, "What happened to my family photo?" He's put strings of twine and leaves all over someone's desk who was on extended leave, and they came back to this mess of stuff that was there. He's played lots of practical jokes. He loves it. He's a lot of fun. So let's go to the second slide. This is some photos of me. I was around 38, 39 weeks pregnant, and, you know, we have to go to great lengths to keep Logan a secret, right, when you're putting things on social media. So Richard took strategic photos of me pregnant. You can see the kids were great, being in front of my big belly, and I think there's a cow in front of someone, another photo. And so this is a family holiday that we had just before Logan was born. So Richard put these photos up. I think we had another one of me actually climbing like one or two rungs of, you know, those really tall trees down south where you can climb up the tree. So, again, pretending that nothing's going on. Unfortunately, the joke backfired. So just before Logan was due to be born, Richard's boss said, "So I need you to manage a different team, at this particular time, which means, you know, you have to be here." And he's like, "Oh, you know, rats, you know, you ruined this. And I have to tell you, you know, what's happening, because I actually need to take some leave to be at home with my wife because she's having a baby next week." So there you go. So keeping a secret, you know, Jesus is the best secret that we have to share with other people. And, you know, at this time of Christmas, I was thinking about Mary. Can you imagine Mary? When the angel visited her and said that you're going to bear the Son of God. What an incredible moment for Mary to have an angel appear before her and say, "Guess what? You're going to carry the Son of God." Come with me to Luke 1 after Mary has just been visited by the angel Gabriel. in verse 39 to 40. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town to the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. Now, Mary, you know, being visited by this angel, she's got this incredible secret. And she, you know, when you look into the original language, it says that Mary, you know, was so excited. She was so excited, but who is she going to share the secret with? And so she hurried and packed her bags and was going to go to her aunt Elizabeth. You know, this girl, Mary, she was just a teenager, 14, 15 or 16 years of age, engaged to Joseph, now pregnant with a son of God. And so, you know, God is so good how he brings good news, isn't he? You know, he speaks to Mary and says, it just says a word of encouragement. What's more, this is in Luke 1, verses 36 to 37. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. The word of God will never fail. And so, you know, Mary now, she's got Jesus growing inside of her. The angel has said, your aunt Elizabeth is pregnant too. She was barren, but I've also blessed her with a child. And so it's just so beautiful how God brings his word to pass to people. And how he gives Mary that encouragement of she can actually go share this secret with someone that will care for her, someone that's older, someone that can guide her, someone who can support her in this time. So she hurriedly goes. She goes. You know, she's excited. She's eager. She can't wait to tell Elizabeth what's going on. So she gets to Elizabeth's home and she greets Elizabeth. Now, greetings in this time were quite significant. Jesus rebuked the Pharisees who would, you know, want people to greet them publicly and really, you know, kind of build them up. It was quite a self-righteous thing that they would use the greetings for. And Jesus rebuked those Pharisees for doing that. And he actually says, This is how you greet people. Whenever you enter someone's home, first say, "May God's peace be on this house." If those who live there are peaceful, the blessing will stand. If they are not, the blessing will return to you. That's in Luke 10. And so greetings are really important. So we see in Luke 1 how, you know, Mary comes to Elizabeth's house and Elizabeth greets her. Let's go further to Luke 1:41. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist, who was in Elizabeth's womb, also responds to the presence of Jesus inside of Mary. Elizabeth interprets the stirring within her as motivated by joy, which is exactly how the angel saw it. In Luke 2:10, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. So Luke 1:42 to 44, in a loud voice, she exclaimed. This is Elizabeth expressing her joy. This is Elizabeth greeting Mary. She exclaims, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is this is the child that you will bear. But why am I so favoured?" She's so humble that Mary would come to her. "That the mother of my Lord should come to me. As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy." This is a great secret, Jesus. You know, he's, oh my goodness, so much joy. And Mary's response in Luke 1:46 to 51a, this is such a beautiful revelation that Mary had, that she was carrying the Son of God. She was carrying her Saviour in her womb. And so Mary responded, "Oh, how my soul praises the Lord, how my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. For he took notice of his lowly servant girl. And from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One is holy, and he has done great things for me. He shows mercy from generation to generation to all who fear him. His mighty arm has done tremendous things. Mary's praise and prayer is all about exalting and magnifying the Son of God, Jesus, her Lord, her Saviour, full of praise, full of magnification, exaltation of the Most High God. Jesus really is the best secret to share. And Jesus tells us we need to share the news of Him who brings salvation, who rescues, who gives freedom and victory over sin and death, eternal life with Him. Jesus tells us we need to share Him with others. So let's fast forward 30 years and we're going to the book of Matthew chapter 13. And this is a story. Jesus teaches and talks in stories to help us understand truths that He brings. So Matthew 13. Later that same day, Jesus left the house and sat beside the lake. A large crowd soon gathered around Him, so He got into a boat. So there are mixed understandings of what was happening here. Jesus had done some miracles just before, and this was the same day after He'd done miracles. And so He left the house. So we think that, you know, there was just too many people that wanted to hear Jesus. And so He goes into a boat. And I guess, you know, again, can you imagine being Jesus? There are so many people that want to be healed. There's so many people that want to hear Him. And so He goes onto a boat to I guess, have a bit of safety from all the crowds that were there to hear Him. And everybody's standing on the shore to listen to what He has to say. He told many stories in the form of parables, such as this one. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds. As he scattered them across his field, some seeds fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plants soon withered under the hot sun. And since they didn't have deep roots, they died. Other seeds fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as he had been planted. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. So what does this mean? What is Jesus saying here? You know, He's talking in agricultural terms about planting seeds. This is, you know, I call this story scattered seeds. And but what is Jesus really saying here? How do we understand His word? Well, I have invited Pastor Nigel to come and share a modern take on what this parable means. So Pastor Nigel, come on down and share your story. Give him a hand.
Thanks, Charlie. Thanks, Emma. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to C3 Fremantle. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Pastor Nigel Sermon, the senior minister here at the church. So I'm just going to be speaking to you this morning about my Instagram account. Abriella, can you put that photo up for me? There we go. So we're going to be talking about my Instagram account. So if none of you have noticed, I've got quite a few followers, actually. And on my account, over the past few months, I've been posting about my developments at C3 Wellard and our new campus, and been getting really excited about that. And I just wanted to share it with everybody. Now, what we've had here is all these different photos, and actually, nowadays in our society, you've got to make sure we give photo credits out to people. So the people that took these photos, I give a big thank you to them, and a very big thank you out to Vic. Vic does an amazing job doing photos for our church, and I just want to give you a big thanks, mate. You do a fantastic job. Now, for those of you who haven't been watching my Instagram, they have been about our church and our new developments, and it's been getting some very exciting time as we finally finished our campus down at Wellard. Now, some people, they saw these posts, and because they're all over social media, I put them on Facebook, I put them on Instagram, just so to share the word. Now, some people, they just ignored it, scrolled on by, didn't want to have anything to do with it. Some people, nicely though, they gave me a like. or a comment. And they said something kind, and I enjoyed that. I really appreciated it. But they forgot about it. They didn't bother thinking about the church after that. But some people had never seen the church before, never heard anything about our C3 Fremantle or our C3 Wellard. And they saw these posts and they saw these photos and they got curious. They were like, what's going on here? What are these people doing? What are they building? And they came to our church and they saw what was going on and they had an encounter with Jesus Christ. And those people, they had that experience. They then took a new believers course. They went, sat down and did Alpha on Fridays. And they were able to learn more about Jesus and start getting plugged into the church. And they joined Connect groups. And here they are, part of the congregation here today. And this is the exciting news. This is what planting the seed is all about. It's about sharing these experiences with everyone. And just getting out there, putting your word out there. It doesn't matter if it's through word of tongue, just talking to each other. Or if it's through your Instagram accounts or your Facebook accounts and just sharing it with everyone. So church this morning, my quick little message to you is to plant your seeds, is to spread it out. That's just my modern take on how we do these things.
Wow, thank you, Pastor Nigel. Great job, great job. Okay, do you understand what Jesus was talking about? I love the Word of God because Jesus actually gave a literal explanation, which is very, very helpful to all of us. So further on in Matthew 13, starting from verse 18, the Word of God says, "Now listen to the explanation of the parable about the farmer planting the seeds. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom but don't understand it. Then the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. The seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of the life, of this life, and the lure of wealth. So no fruit is produced. The seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as had been planted." So what is Jesus' point here? Do we keep Jesus a secret? No. The point is that we are to share the good news of Jesus to all people. Some won't understand it. Some will have a short-lived faith. Some will be weak in their faith. Some will be just so excited about hearing about Jesus and how he blesses and how he's good, and but not really have the conviction of their sin and not actually have a true change of heart. It's all very surface level. And so when problems come along or when they face persecution, they're like, oh, I don't want to have anything to do with this Jesus. Their faith is very shallow and they quickly fall away. There are some people who get lured by the deception of wealth and that draws them away from Jesus. And there are some who really understand and hear God's word just like you and will multiply over and over again the sharing of Jesus with people who also hear and truly understand. So there will be people who hear and respond with great joy, but their faith is short-lived. It's not a strong enough conviction. There will be people who hear the gospel and are consumed still by their own worries and desire for earthly wealth that prevents them from being fruitful or maturing in their faith. There will also be people who will hear the word of God, who will receive the good news of Christ with humility, with a revelation of Christ as Lord and Saviour, and have a desire and hunger for more understanding of the word of God and to serve him and to tell others about him. So the point of Jesus' parable is that people need to hear the word of God. This is a message to encourage you to not keep Jesus to yourself, to not keep him a secret. It's an encouragement to share the great news that you have, the great joy that you have in being in a relationship with Christ, in having encounters with Christ. We need to share Christ with others. We need to do this. His word says so. And remember the joy that Mary felt when she was told by the angel Gabriel that she was carrying the Son of God. How thrilled she was. She knew she had the Lord with her. She was so excited. She had to go tell somebody. She was very wise in who she told, I might add as well. So seeds survive. This is my next point. Seeds survive. Jesus uses this parable of planting a seed. You know, when you think about seeds, they always remain. And there's a parable that Jesus says where, you know, sometimes the devil will snatch the seed out of a person's heart. That gives us opportunities to replant those seeds in people's hearts. If someone rejects the gospel, always, always, always keep praying. Never give up hope. You can replant the seed in that person's heart. Seeds always remain. And we are all seed planters of Jesus. We are planting seeds of eternal hope, of salvation, of a relationship with the living God. We have the power of Christ in us. That's what we're planting, resurrection life. Okay, I want you to get up on your feet. I'm going to get you to do something with me. How do we plant seeds? Okay, we pray. Relationship, we can put that next slide on the screen. Connection points, what's your story? Okay, so I'm going to get you to do some actions with me and I'm going to say this with the actions and you're going to echo me, okay? I want you to keep up with me. All right, so pray. I want you to pretend you're going into a battle, as if you're going to fight. All right, so have your boxing fists. Pray is the first one. Relationship, put your hands together. Connection point, two fingers touching. And what's your story? What's your story? Okay, are you ready? Yes? Very good. All right, pray. You've got to say it as well. You can't just do the actions. Speak and do the actions. I feel like I'm back in kids' church. All right, here we go. Pray. Relationship. Connection points. What's your story? Okay, so I say it, then you echo. Have you got it? All right. Pray. Relationship. Connection points. What's your story? 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 Very good. Sit down. Thank you. All right. Hopefully this will cement this in your mind. So pray. Pray for the people who don't know Christ yet. Pray always. Pray every day. Keep praying and praying and praying. God invites us to participate in Him moving in people's hearts through prayer. Jesus was always praying for us. So pray for people to receive the message of the kingdom of God, to truly hear and understand God's word. It's a beautiful scripture in Ezekiel 36:26 that says, "And I will give you a new heart and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart." Pray for those people who God puts in your mind that you know in your world who need to receive Christ. Pray that their heart that may be hard, their heart that may not be able to see or hear the word of God, pray that God takes that out and puts a soft, responsive, open heart to hearing about Christ. Pray that for the people that you know. Pray, pray, pray. Pray that, you know, God, let my family, let my friends have ears to hear and eyes to see that Christ is Lord. Never stop praying. you know, my family don't really have a relationship with God, and I continue to pray for them. A few weeks ago, my dad rocked up in church completely uninvited, and I didn't even know. I'm like, wow, God, wow, thank you. What an encouragement to have my dad in church, just to be here. God's working all the time behind the scenes with the power of the Holy Spirit in people's hearts. And so we always need to keep praying for those who don't know him yet. Because when I want to get to heaven, I want my dad there. I want my mum there. I want my sisters there. I want my whole family there with me, rejoicing and worshiping God. Pray, pray, pray. Relationship. So we always see when Jesus was doing ministry, he was always about relationship. He was with people, teaching, healing, walking with people, always in relationship. And when he went by himself, he was in relationship with the Father God. He was communing with his Father, always in relationship. Never just by himself, you know, meditating on nothing or anything like that. Always in relationship. That's who Christ is, his relationship. So we need to build relationships with people. People are not going to listen to you or to hear what you know, your encounters about Christ, if there's no relationship. It's always a relationship that is there that allows people to hear the word of God. Build relationships with people. Care for them. Love them. As Pastor Charlie was saying, share the love with people. I had several conversations with a chaplain who works in an aged care facility, and he is responsible for 450, around that amount of residents to be a chaplain for, and the staff as well. And I was just so impressed with his earnestness and his diligence every single moment when he was at work, and how he would, you know, schedule seeing everybody and making sure he had moments with everybody. But his whole goal was, Lord, how can I share the gospel today? I want to share the good news of Christ with every single person that I meet. Speak to me. How do I do that in ways that people can hear your word? There was a lady there that was 107 years of age. And she was saying to him, why am I still here? I'm 107. Come on. Isn't that enough, you know? And he was able to share the gospel with her. And immediately, just her eyes were open. Wow, that's why. So that I can hear the good news of Christ. So that I can have salvation. So that I know when I do eventually die, I'm going to be with the Lord, with my Saviour. So, so precious. She was able to receive Christ. They discussed the Gospel of John. They talked, and she was, you know, having an understanding of who Jesus was, of who her Father God was. We don't want to miss opportunities like this, do we? 107. You can see that it is God's will for none to be perished. None to perish. He will give every opportunity for you to come to know Christ. Every opportunity. This chaplain, you know, he every moment that he has, whether he's doing a funeral, whether he's doing a group, whether he's with someone individually, he was always sharing the gospel in some way, always creating opportunities for people to come to know their living God. Relationship. Connection points. Find a point of connection with people. A point of connection, something that the person identifies with, something that the person is familiar with, and bring the word of God into this point of connection. Jesus does this so effectively and so efficiently in Matthew 4, verses 18 to 20. One day, as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. So these two brothers, their career is fishing. Jesus called out to them, "Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people. And they left their nets at once and followed him. Jesus found that point of connection, that point where they knew, yeah, we're fishermen. Jesus speaks straight. He is so concise. Come, follow me. I'm going to show you how to fish for people. And immediately they followed. Find that connection point. Graham was telling me a story about how he is going on the streets and he's building relationship with people who are preaching a different message, a message about a different God. And how he's slowly building relationship with these people and he's sharing the good news of Christ. But he finds the commonalities between the two religions, and he's able to bring good news to these people. Find the connection points that you can just bring the word of God in, where people go, oh, I get it. I get it. What's your story? Know your own story. The encounters that you have with Jesus, your testimonies of God's goodness, of God's faithfulness, of what God has done in your heart, how he has spoken to you. Know your stories. Share your stories with people. Share your stories. We don't have to be strange or weird. We just be very natural. This is what God said. The story about Logan doesn't end with him being a secret or a bit of a practical joke. Months before he was conceived, I was walking at our park across the road, walking our dog and just praying. And the Holy Spirit prompted me to pray for a son. This wasn't me saying, you know, I want a son and this is what I'm going to pray for. This was the Holy Spirit prompting me to pray for a son. You know, your husband desires a son. Pray for a son. And so I would pray and I would pray. We weren't even thinking about conceiving another child. It wasn't even in our heads or our minds. It was such a surprise. But he was prayed for. He was God's gift to us. He was an incredible gift to us. And it's so much more than just having a son. This is God's blessing. This is God's goodness. This is God working behind the scenes in ways that we didn't even think or imagine. This is God calling us to partner with him in relationship, for him to speak his will, that we would pray that. We pray his will. God, Logan was a gift from God that we were to pray for. So know your story. What's your story? How did you come to Christ? Share that. You all have a testimony of how you came to know Christ. And when you share that, wow, that encourages people. They see, wow, you're an ordinary person like me. But I see the joy that's in you. I see the peace that's in you. I want some of that. Create curiosity for people to ask, what's different about you? So pray, relationship, connection points, what's your story? As you keep planting seeds in people's hearts by praying, as you relate to people in the world by building relationships with people, as you find connection points to share the word of God, as you share your stories of how you invited Jesus into your heart, your relationship and encounters with Jesus, as you continually keep doing these things, God will bring the harvest. The seeds you plant in the good soil will produce a harvest. And the harvest is fruits of the Spirit. A harvest is people who come into the house of God who also hear and truly understand, who take hold of what it means to know that I need to have a Saviour. And they come in and they get planted, securely established, grounded on the Word of God. And they grow and they produce fruits of the Spirit. And they share the secret of Jesus with others. And so the kingdom is built up and established and expanded. The same parable that we've been talking about is also in Luke chapter 8. Verse 15, and the seeds that fell on the good soil represent honest, good-hearted people who hear God's word, who cling to it and patiently produce a huge harvest. You are these people. I see a whole auditorium filled with good, honest, good-hearted people who have heard the word of God, who are clinging to it, who are patiently producing a huge harvest. Let's do this together, church. Don't be discouraged when people may reject you. You know, we count it all joy when there is persecution. Don't be discouraged. Keep planting. Keep planting the seeds. Keep inviting people to heaven. You know, we have such a great opportunity leading up to the season of Christmas, and we make it so easy for you. Just grab one of these cards, give it to somebody. Just, come on, come to church. Come and see how much fun we have. Come and see the joy that we all have. Come and hear about a Saviour who died for you. Come and hear. Come. Invite people. It's so easy. And we make it so easy. You know, as pastors, we want to create the most easy ways for people to really get planted in His house. Susan's running Alpha next year on a Sunday in church. How easy is that? Come to church, stay for lunch, ask questions, get to know Christ. We make it easy, so easy. All you have to do is share the secret of Jesus with people. Jesus really is the best secret to share, isn't he? The best secret to share. I want you to all stand up as we come towards the end. If the worship team can all come up. I just want you to put your hands out to God. And just have these next few moments allowing God to minister to you. Allowing His presence, Holy Spirit, to minister to you with what we've been talking about today, sharing Jesus, not keeping Jesus a secret. Don't keep Him to yourself. Share Him. He's the best secret to share. As you're standing with your arms stretched out to God, allow Holy Spirit to speak to you about how He wants you to do this. You have a significant assignment to do in sharing Christ to those who don't know Him. God has placed people around you, whether it's your neighbours, your work colleagues, the people at the sporting clubs that you belong to, whether it's the people who you meet at shopping centres. God has given you assignments to share Christ with those who have not yet received Him as their Lord and Saviour. God has given you assignments. As you wait on Him, just wait on Him. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Allow His presence to minister to you. God, for your anointing to pour out over every single person in this auditorium, your anointing, your power, the resurrection power of Christ that will bring forth salvation to those who you speak about Christ today. Over the next few weeks with this opportunity of leading up to Christmas, Christ, who was conceived by Holy Spirit in Mary's womb, the joy that she had in knowing her Saviour was coming into the world. This Christmas, you bring that same joy of a Saviour who died for you, who died for me. Just allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you. Allow God to minister to you. Open your heart to Him. Receive the fullness of Holy Spirit flowing in you, His anointing. Right now, with every eyes closed and head bowed, if you're hearing this message about Jesus for the first time, or you've been in church a long time, but you've never given your heart to Christ. You've never invited Christ to live in your heart. I want to give this opportunity for those people who want to say, Lord, be my Saviour. Lord, I confess that you are my Saviour, that you are Lord of my life. I confess my sins. I repent. I turn away from not being in relationship with you. I turn away from my disobedience to you. And I turn towards you today. And I want to receive your forgiveness and your grace and your mercy. And I want to cry out to you, Lord, Lord, I need you. I now know that I need a Saviour. I need Jesus. With every head bowed and eye closed, pray this prayer with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that you died for me so that I may live with you in eternity. I confess my sins today. I receive your forgiveness. Be my Lord. Be my Saviour. I will follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If this was the first time that you've said that prayer, or you've said that prayer a long time ago, and today you just want to rededicate your life to him, with every eye closed and head bowed, please, this is between you and God. Just raise your hand. I'll see it. You can put it down again. For those of you who said that prayer for the first time, want to rededicate their life, just put your hand up. I'll see it. Pop it down again. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Lord, we honour you today. God, we glorify and magnify and exalt the Most High God. We glorify and magnify and exalt Christ, our Lord and Saviour. We praise you today that you did humble yourself to the point of death on a cross. We thank you, God, for your incredible plan for the resurrection 3 days later. Christ seated in heaven. And Father God, right now we just pray, Lord, as we leave and continue our journey with you, God, that we would share Christ with others. God, we would invite people to heaven. We would invite people to know the living Saviour. In Jesus' name, amen.